At the offertory verse, the choir sings today from the Apocalypse of St. John. An angel stood near the altar of the temple, having a golden censer in his hand, and there was given to him much incense, and the smoke of the perfumes ascended before God. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Mass prayer we'll be looking at, the third after the consecration, starts with a mysterious angel and occasions amongst the authors and the experts an altercation, a dispute as to who he is and indeed what is the meaning of this prayer of offering, so mystical and its content. Well, this makes me think about the dispute between St. Michael, chief of the heavenly host, and the former top angel, Lucifer, who fell for pride. St. Jude writes about it in one of the shortest epistles in the Bible. It just has one chapter, and I think it should be better known. The revelation is this: that Satan, after the death of Moses, wanted to bury him in some very public place where he could tempt the Jews, who were always given to idol worship, to worship him. There was a dispute. St. Michael wasn't having it. But still, St. James notes that he didn't dare to accuse Lucifer insultingly, but he just said, "May God rebuke you." And that's why we say in our beloved St. Michael prayer, "May God rebuke him," we humbly pray. And this is why two exorcists are told not to get into a fight with the devil or to trade insults with him. Now imagine the power of the prince of the angels and the holiness of the head of the heavenly host. But he dares not, he will not, Michael, will not use the I word. No, not I command you. He defers humbly to God. Why? This is St. Michael's secret weapon, most powerful of all, to conquer the devil. Humility. St. Vincent de Paul says that Satan, for all of his skill, for all of his strategy, and we all of us have experienced that to our regret, is outdone by this one weapon. He has no idea how to use it. Neither does he know how to defend himself from it. It's a secret weapon, but it shouldn't be. Are you having trouble right now with some particular sin? Try humility. And if you can't bear to be humble, if that's a step too far right now, at least pray to be, or even pray in honor of the humility of the Sacred Heart or of our Blessed Lady, and see the help that comes. So, what is this prayer in the canon? It's called the Supplices in the Latin. Father starts it by bowing down, you'll see him at the altar do that, to signify his own humility, and he leans forward and he rests his hands on the altar to make himself one with the divine victim. And he says, he prays, "We most humbly beseech thee, Almighty God, to command these things to be carried by the hands of thy holy angel to thy altar on high in the sight of thy divine majesty, that as many," and at the word many, quote, quote, in the Latin, he stops and he kisses the earthly altar, which is symbol of the heavenly altar. And the kiss, what's that? That's why a kiss is so sacred. There's no such thing as a throwaway kiss. It's always a sign of respect and of union, the union of all those for whom our Lord was crucified, for whom he died in anguish, and are going to unite themselves again this morning in the communion of the Mass. And then he says, as many as shall partake of the most sacred body and blood, and he makes a sign of the cross, not to bless them, because that is the body and the blood of our Lord, but to indicate them respectfully, and then so much as if to remind us, this is the body of the cross. This is the blood of Calvary right here. May be filled, he concludes, with every heavenly grace and blessing through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. The priest says he's not worthy to present his offering in prayer. May an angel do it for him. But who's the angel? That was the dispute. Some say it's no angel at all, but it's really meant to be the Holy Ghost. Others that it is our Lord, whom Isaiah calls the angel of the great council. Others, one of the angels maybe of the Eucharist, even the priest's own guardian angel. But most say, no, it's not right. It's St. Michael, the archangel, that he's the angel seen by John holding the golden censer. That's how St. Michael first appeared in the 5th century, when our Lord wanted to establish devotion to St. Michael in the church. And he's mentioned in today's Mass, and as often as incense is blessed and used, it is done in his name, by his power, the incense symbolizing the perfume of our prayer, its fragrance rising up to God. But he is also the one who presents our souls to God for the particular judgment right at the moment of our death. Thus, we confess our sins to him in life, two times, the Confiteor at every Mass. But St. Michael is only one of the thousands of, you might say, his angels who surround the altar. St. Mechtild says that she saw 7,000 angels from the seventh choir, the thrones, who surround the tabernacle wherever the Blessed Sacrament is present, and far more whenever the Holy Mass is being offered. The angels give us an indication of what should be our attitude before the altar and in their presence. You know how St. Paul says that women should veil their heads in church out of respect to the angels? Well, that's the idea. In the old days, men would dress up too for church, and we still have the rule because, well, we're traditionalists here. We reverence Sunday, the Lord's Day, and the Sunday Mass. So that's why we have the dress code, even if it's warm. Men are meant to wear a coat and a tie. For that reason, in women, to dress modestly, but also in their very Sunday best. The ancient prayer we're talking about today symbolizes, gives the essence of this mystery and of our veneration, and reminds us that when we come to church, it is all about worship in body and in soul. So we stand face to face with the mystery, the altar, the angel. These things should fill us with awe. This prayer, where you see the priest bow low, angel notes are heard during it. Another, and if possible, an even more excellent choir is singing. Their presence is barely revealed, though. We just catch a glimpse of them as their wings brush past our shoulders as they fly with our offerings to the altar on high. This is the prayer when the angels join with us and assist us. October starts, It's the month of the Rosary. As you're doing your mysteries this week, look for the angels. You will find them in almost every decade. And so many were at Calvary, and so many are at Calvary today. What is it, though, this altar that St. John saw in heaven, about which we pray in this third prayer after the consecration? St. John says it was a golden altar, using symbolic language, but you see how biblical is our worship. The altar on high is God. The altar on high is the man Christ Jesus standing at the throne, presenting his own wounds and his bloody death to implore for us grace and mercy. And likewise, praise and thanksgiving and reparation and petition, which come from the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Mary, is she the altar in heaven? Indeed, her heart is a golden altar. Do not be surprised at that. After all, she is the one who gives us Jesus, and she is the one through whom we go back to our Lord again, and of her, the Church applies the words of St. Paul, "Let us go with confidence to the throne of grace." She stands next to her Son. What's the golden altar? It's all of the merits and the prayers of all of the saints, which are given to God by Jesus through Mary at this moment of the Mass by the hands of Michael. The essence of this prayer, I think, is this. Sort of an elevator, going up and coming down. We offer up the body and the blood of Jesus, with him ourselves, because now we're part of him, aren't we? We're in the mystical body. We offer our prayers then and our joys and our sorrows. We offer them by an angel, you see, because in revealed religion, the genuine article, there's always a mediator. That's the Catholic way, that is the scriptural way, to pray, that we may thus be rendered more pleasing to God, because it's the angel, it's Our Lady, it's our Lord who's doing the offering for us. This is what goes up, and it's angel business after all, and that's why they have wings. They watch over the sacrifice. They take it on high. It goes up. Every Mass is like a new ascension of Christ into heaven. And then, wait for it, what comes next? Pentecost. The Holy Ghost comes down with his gifts for us. We receive the incredible gifts at a Holy Communion. And the Holy Ghost, with his sevenfold gift, prepares us. And every Mass brings, as it were, another first communion to our souls. The angels bear the gift upward and also show us how to be low, how to be downward. For what is the Mass if not a corporate act of submission of the Fahi, of the whole human race to God in adoration? The devil cannot bear that, this humble worship so perfect, and that's why he's always trying to destroy it. This is what burns in the golden censer and gives forth such a delicious fragrance and rises with Michael to the throne of the Most High. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.